Well, we appreciate the Lord this morning, and we desire your prayer. We desire for the Lord to give us something for our souls today. We live in a world that is full of unbelief. It's full of false ideas. It's full of false doctrines. And I believe that it's really crucial for us to be strengthened with true doctrines and with right ways. I wrote on the board the will, faith or unbelief. Last week, we talked a little bit, we studied a little about, we started this subject, and we asked the question, could we buy God's love? And I'm going to ask the question, could God buy our love? Could God program us to love Him? I don't think so. Because it wouldn't be love. It would be something that was just forced, built in to happen some way. But we can love the Lord by an act of our will. And last week we finished with the scripture in John 20 and 31 that says, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." You know, this morning, the Lord paid a big price for us to have life through His name. We've sang songs this morning that told us we can be more than a conqueror. It told us we can triumph through Christ and through His strength. And I believe that our choices and our decisions and our will is not something that just we're born with. It's something we choose to do. And I want us to think about that this morning, because we see people that they were raised in such a way to have faith, and they have faith. Then we see other people that their life is full of unbelief. But I'm going to tell you now, it's excuseless, I believe. The scriptures tell us it's excuseless. Unbelief is very close. It's very close with rebellion and disobedience. Faith is really closely linked with obedience and with the fear of God. And so that has something to do with us, doesn't it? So when we look at our response to God, and we look at where we're at with the Lord, I want to encourage us to know that that is an act of our will. It is an act of our will because God deals with our hearts, and we know it. I believe God deals with every man. His scripture tells us that, and I found it to be so. You can talk to the hardest kind of people, and they may tell you, I think about the end of time every day. It's so shocking and surprising. We know that. But do you know, this morning, I want to encourage us that people are not separated from God because they're not chosen to be one of God's elect. We are chosen to be God's elect through belief and faith in God. And the scriptures plainly declare to us that if we will believe, we can be saved. And so it's good for us to arm ourselves, and especially the young, but not only the young. It's especially helpful to us as we go out into a world that is full of these false ideas that some are chosen and some are not. Folks, that's a misunderstanding of Scripture. And so I want to work with just the whole idea a little bit this morning, that, and remembering what we started with last week, that love cannot be bought, it cannot be forced, It cannot be programmed. Love is a choice, and that's why God made us with a choice. And so all these false ideas, folks, come from a false basis that somehow God chooses some and not others. I want to strengthen our mind and our heart with the things that we do understand. I'm not going to say that every scripture is just perfectly understood immediately. It takes a little bit of work sometimes to understand things. And Paul the Apostle, it's said of some of his writings that they're hard to be understood. Now, this was talking about, I know the end of time of things. But folks, that doesn't mean they can't be understood. It means it takes special time. It takes understanding from the Lord. And the Lord wants us to have some of those understandings. And so I want to start this morning in Romans, the 11th chapter. A very valuable book, and yet so misunderstood so much of the time. I know this is teaching as much as preaching, but we need that, don't we? In the 20th verse it says, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Now, I struggled and struggled with where to start. Do I start in the first verse and bore everybody with every... Do we just do a study of every word in this chapter? And so, we're starting in the 20th verse, and I'll just tell you, this is speaking of Israel. Israel rejected Jesus, didn't they? They rejected him. Now think about it for a minute. They rejected him because they didn't believe. Because all their lives they were taught things that Jesus came and taught a fulfillment of those things they didn't understand. And so, but the scripture here says they were broken off. The Jews were not accepted as a whole because of their unbelief. And we read about their unbelief and we see how that because of envy they delivered him up. Not because he didn't teach truth or righteousness. And so we look at people's lives and we realize that because of wickedness, yes, because of wickedness, people's hearts depart from God. If we don't understand some things about God, you know, there's those that didn't understand everything. If you look in the 6th chapter of John, you find Peter there, and the Lord said, will you also go away? Because he spoke of things that they didn't understand. And he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you know, you won't be able to be a part of me. Well, they were taught all their lives not to drink blood or eat flesh. And so those things were very contrary to them. And so a lot of them went away. And Jesus asked his disciples, are you going to go away too? And the answer was, where would we go? You have the words to eternal life. There is something that witnesses in the heart that Christ's ways are right. There's something that the Spirit of God and the elements of life and the things God has placed in the universe, there's something that speaks to us that this is right. And if we don't understand it, there's something that speaks to us in our hearts, and I believe this, that we need to look further. And so when we look and we see some didn't understand and they just went away, didn't they? It's their job to look further. And so this morning, I don't know what all the Israelites, why they did not follow after God. But I want to tell you, the Lord expected them, through obedience to His Word, to follow after and understand the things they didn't understand. And so He says here, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And so we say, well, were they broken off because they were destined to do that? Were they predestinated to be broken off? The scriptures tell us because of unbelief they were broken off. We need to settle some things in our heart that, folks, it has to do with our obedience, with our belief, our faith in God, and our following after Him. Because I believe that the Lord talks to our hearts. He talks to your heart and my heart. Whether we are going right or not, He talks to us, doesn't He? And He sets things in our way, as He did with Balaam. And He talked to him through the donkey. And Balaam never stopped to consider, I'm doing exactly what God told me not to do. He never stopped to consider that. So this morning, if we want to find God, let's arm ourselves with the truth. The truth will protect us against the devil getting in there and killing our soul for eternity. The Lord wants us to know you can live saved. And He wants us to know, it is my will that there is no man that shall perish. Now, there's scriptures in there that if you take it in its own, just that scripture, and you don't understand the whole context, you're going to say, well, maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm not one of them. Folks, we are all one of them that God predestined to be saved. Every one of us. So they were broken off because of unbelief. And He said, thou standest by faith to these Romans. The reason you're saved is because you have put your faith in God and in Christ and in the shed blood. You've believed and been saved. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, talking about the Israelites that came down through the covenant with Abraham, did they deserve it? No, but through His mercy and through His covenant with Abraham, He had a people, didn't He? They didn't deserve it. We don't deserve a lot of things God does for us, do we? But because of His love to us and His covenant, He's there for us. His mercy is to all men, I believe. There, He says, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest He also spare not thee. Now, I'm thinking about some of the things that we keep hearing in the religious world all around us. Listen, because we've been saved don't mean that we are eternally destined to be with God if we decide to err. If we decide not to have faith and we in unbelief and disobedience begin to disobey God, the same thing He told Eve will apply to us. And the day you do that, you're going to die. And so He said, if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest He also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fail, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness. Get this in your minds. If I continue in His goodness, I'll still continue to receive from the Lord of His hand. I'll still be on my way to heaven if I continue in His goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. Now, folks, we can take a scripture or two here and there, as I said before, and try to build on that oh, it doesn't matter. It does matter. The scriptures are very clear that it matters. The things that we understand, as Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. No, I don't understand everything you just said. But I'll tell you this, I know where life is, and I'm going to follow that. I want to encourage us this morning. I want to encourage all ages this morning. Follow after God. The things we don't understand, the things we don't know why happened to us, the things that we wish hadn't have happened in our life, the things that are in our mind. Don't dwell on things we don't understand. Dwell on the things we do. We know that there is salvation through Jesus Christ and belief in His shed blood and in the price that He's paid, don't we? We have faith and confidence that we can be saved. Believe that this morning. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. Isn't that beautiful this morning? God is able to graft them in again. You ever seen a tree that has had a graft put on the side of it? And they graft this limb into the root system? And it begins to bear fruit. Wonderful fruit, because it already has this wonderful root system that's already there. And the Lord wants to graft us in to His root system. He loves that. And He said, here He said, they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. He'll graft them back in. Do you know that this morning, maybe we've been in unbelief some. I want to tell you something. God wants to graft you in again. And He wants to bring you back, and He wants to put big old fruit on your limb, and He wants you to be a fruitful part of His kingdom. For God is able to graft them in again. Now, because we don't understand a scripture that sounds like I can't ever come back, folks, understand the things God has said that is clear and plain. All through the scripture we find this, don't we? For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? Yes, they were cut off because of unbelief, they were cut off, but how much more they can be grafted right back in. Isn't that beautiful this morning? Oh, let's get these things in our hearts. So when we hear the false doctrines of the day, which are strong and many, folks, that we understand some things basic way down in our hearts. God wants to graft us in. He wants us to bear fruit. And He wants our lives to be fruitful. The election of grace, folks, is whether we believe or not. That's what the election of grace is. It's to those that believe. As many as believe, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. As many as believed, that's where it is. That's the election of grace. Oh, how the Lord wants all men to be saved this morning. And I know we hear on every hand that the world is full of the false things. Maybe the Lord decided to give some mercy when they didn't deserve it. Did He do that? Yes, He did. It doesn't mean that He's going to condemn someone to everlasting fire because He doesn't have mercy on them. But because two people, neither one of them deserve mercy, and He reaches down and gives mercy to one, that's His goodness, isn't it? He can do that this morning. In Luke 13 and 34, I want you to notice the Lord's mind and thoughts toward people, toward you and me. This was toward Jerusalem, Luke 13:34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Now, did Jesus mean this or not? Did He mean that He would have gathered them if they would have let Him? Because you see, if they were just all predestined, then they would be doing exactly what He said. But see, they weren't. God, in His might, made us with an amazing ability to decide with our will whether we will serve God or not. I put the will at the top. The will, faith or unbelief. It has to do, folks, not with just whether, oh, they believe and I don't believe. I believe there's more to it than that. There's something of the will. Folks, it's pretty plain to all men that there is a God. Amen. Only when we deceive ourselves and let Satan deceive us can we even think of not believing that. It's so obvious. And it's so everywhere in front of us. And God speaking with our own heart too. Because He does that, doesn't He? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you've done exactly what I told you not to. You killed my prophets that I've sent to you. And how often I would have gathered you as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. Oh, the Lord in His mercy. You know, the Lord in mercy sent a prophet to Nineveh, didn't He? He did that out of mercy. Nineveh was transgressors in a big way. They were wicked. They were mean. They were cruel people. But you know what God did in His mercy? He decided, I'm going to send a prophet over there. I've got a prophet here that'll go when I get done with him. He'll go. And you know what? He worked with Jonah until he finally went, didn't he? And that city repented of their sin. They weren't one of the chosen ones, were they? But God saw them. He had mercy on them. Oh, how God wants to have mercy on you and me today. How He looked from heaven and He saw mankind and He sent His Son down here that He might have mercy on you and me. Oh, I want to just scan over a few things here, a few scriptures, and I'll say where they're at, but you're not going to have time to look for them. Matthew 13 and 58, and He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Not because it was His divine will, because He would have done many mighty works there. It's clear if you read the passage, but He said He couldn't. He didn't because of their unbelief. Our unbelief or our faith in God, which is closely linked to our rebellion, or our obedience. Lord, I know You're there. I don't understand everything about You, but I know You're there and I want to serve You. You know, that's where it's at this morning. God deals with us. I know there's a scripture that says that we can't come to the Lord except He draw. But I want to tell you something. God draws, doesn't He? And I believe when a man's heart begins to turn, Lord, I need You. Where are You? You know, I've heard of people that the Lord hadn't been dealing with for years. And they began to realize, hey, I need God. They began to call out for God. You know what the Lord did? Oh, He come along and He helped them out, didn't He? And He drew them right in. We've already quoted the scripture, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Psalm 78 and 40 and 41, how oft did they provoke Him in the wilderness and grieve Him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, does it mean that or not? Did they limit God, or did God just have that in His plan and He limited Himself? Because it was His plan for it to be that way. Does God have everything planned out? I believe He gives us a choice. And it's clear from the very beginning. Love couldn't be love without a choice, folks. So when we view the Scriptures, we have to view them through the Scriptures we understand so well this morning. When we view the things we don't understand, we view them through the things we do. Is that all right? Does that make sense, what I'm saying? They limited the Holy One of Israel. I want to ask us this morning, have we ever limited God in our life? Oh, we can be just like these people, can't we? And the Lord's wanting to do things, and He's wanting to do, and He's wanting to change our life, and He's wanting to make us a beacon and a light, a city that's set on a hill, and we limit Him. And we limit Him. Can we limit Him? Of course we can. Through unbelief, through selfishness, through those things that we choose our ways over His ways. And folks, we can limit God. He wants us to be right in the center of His will. listen to what it says in Genesis 6 and 5 and 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And you know, people build a doctrine on that. You know, they couldn't think anything but evil. They just thought continually. I want to tell you something. Those people could have thought about God if they wanted to. Because when God dealt with them, they could have turned back and quit limiting and angering God. And he said, and it goes on to say, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now, did it grieve him at his heart or not? Is this make-believe? Did God just make it that way, and this is all just playing out like he said, and the piano is just playing just what he made it to play, and it grieved him at his heart? And I don't think so. I think it grieved him at his heart because people were making wrong choices. They were denying there was a God. Folks, when we deny God in our heart and in our life, oh, it grieves God. It grieved him so much that he sent his Son that we might not only be saved, but that we might be filled with the Spirit of God in our inner man, and that we might commune with the Lord on a level that people haven't been able to do in the past. Oh, this morning, the Lord help us today that we can get a hold of some of these treasures. Matthew 7 and 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, I thought God was doing all the stuff, everything. God isn't doing everything. God is asking you to seek. And he's asking me to find. And he's asking us to knock. And he said, it'll be open to you. Now, folks, if it's not open to us, I will tell you what it is. It's unbelief and disobedience. It's not something we can't help. It's our own disobedience that keeps God from having his way in our life. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Jesus said that. And he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? How many fathers give their son a stone when they ask bread? Well, a real father, he'll give him bread, won't he? If he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And so here the Lord is wanting us to know, the Father is just waiting. He's just wanting to give us good things. And because of unbelief, which is fueled by disobedience, because of unbelief, our door is shut. And he won't force himself in. He won't do that. But he wants to give to us. He wants to give good things. He wants our life to be filled with good things. It says the fruits of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and all those things people love and want in life. That's what they want. That's what they're looking after when they go after all the whole lifetime of trying to give themselves to riches and all. They're trying to find those things that the Lord just pours out freely. That's what God wants to give us this morning. Another scripture along these lines, and there's so many. There's many, many, and we just have a few this morning. But Matthew 10 and 22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. You see how that we have a part to play in this morning? I know that I'm preaching to people that already know this, most of us. But I just want to encourage us, folks. We live in a whole world that has a tsunami of false doctrines coming against these things. And we'll do well to arm ourselves with truth. We need to teach our children. We need to teach our neighbor. That one on the job that's deluded into those kind of beliefs. The Lord wants us to be armed, that we might be able to help those things. You know what the Scripture says here in Revelation 22 and 19? Because I'm working with this whole idea of choice and God's working with us. Revelation 22 and 19 says, "And if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life." Now that's another one of those faults and misconceptions spoken from Satan himself and spoken out through false prophets every day. Folks, he says here, if any man shall take away the words of the prophecy of this, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Now we're told in Revelation that we're judged out of the book of life and other books, right? We're judged out of that, aren't we? The Lord says he'll take our name out if we take away from what he said, the book of the words of this prophecy. "And out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." I know this is a little tedious this morning, but folks, I just want to encourage us today. God loves you and me. And don't ever forget it. Because if we've been cut off because of unbelief, sin and wickedness, the Lord wants to graft us in again. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." That's the way he manifested his love. Instead of saying, well, they did what they got what they deserved. Instead of saying that, he sent his own Son. Maybe they'll listen to him. Maybe they'll wake up when they hear the message of salvation and truth and freedom and godliness. That's what the gospel gives, isn't it, this morning? This was manifested. That's the way his love was manifested. I want to tell you, our interpretation of the Scriptures has to be through this lens. We can't simply take a Scripture or Scriptures, not understanding the whole concept of God and his love to mankind, and properly interpret them. Did anybody understand what I just said? Okay. Our interpretation of the Scriptures has to be through the knowledge that God loves us and he manifested his love to us through his Son, and he wants us to be saved. And if we're not in, he wants us to be grafted in. And you ever seen a plant and it's got all these grafts on it? It's because it's a good root system. It's good root stock, and they want this other kind of fruit on it. And they cut it and they slit it and they put it in there. Maybe they tape it or however they do it. And pretty soon it grows together and begins to produce wonderful fruit because it has a wonderful rootstock. Jesus is a wonderful rootstock, folks. He has a wonderful rootstock this morning. And so I want to encourage us that as touching the election, folks, the children of Abraham didn't deserve, but because of God's mercy, they were his people. We don't deserve anything, but because of his mercy, we can be his people this morning. Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful story that God wants us to understand. I want to bring one scripture out here in 1 Peter 2 and 8 along some of these lines. Listen to this. Unto you, verse 7, 1 Peter 2 and 7, unto you therefore which believe, there it is again, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, see, there it is again, the disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now what's that mean, they were appointed? They were appointed? You see what it says here, being disobedient. When people are disobedient, they're appointed to stumble at the rock. We're not appointed to be disobedient. We're not appointed to be outlaws to God. But when we are disobedient, folks, as you see in verse 7, when we are disobedient, then we're going to stumble at that rock. That's what's going to happen. And when we understand properly the words of the Lord, they make sense to us, don't they? Jesus said, "Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." And so this morning, instead of being disobedient and stumbling and rocking and reeling and falling and all, let's ask God to help us to have a heart that is full of faith. Faith like Caleb had. Faith like Joshua had. And they said, those giants are bread for us. You know why they said that? Because they knew the power of God. And all these other people knew the power of God too. They saw the Red Sea open. They all walked across, every one of them, on dry ground. And they saw it close up on their enemies, and they knew that wasn't happenstance. They saw those things, but they did not believe. And you know what? They stumbled around in the wilderness for 40 years. Oh, how God longs for us to believe. And instead of stumbling around all of our life, He longs for us to go in and inherit all the promises of God. He wants us to inherit the promises of God, the blessings that the Lord has promised to His people, and to you and to me. The life of victory. Yes, the life of victory. It comes through the Lord. It comes through us knocking. And folks, He will be found of us when we seek Him with all of our heart. He will. Let's believe it. Let's be one of those of faith, such as Caleb and Joshua were. Ah, it's bread for us. What do you mean those big walls? I don't know what all they said. They're going to fall down before us. You know, that's the belief that they had, that God would do anything. If He can dry up the Red Sea, if He can do those miracles in Egypt, surely He can do that. Have you ever seen God work for you before in any way? I want to tell you, God has worked for you. Open our eyes and behold it. And let it work with our faith and our obedience. And let it transform our lives, that we might be one of God's children. That we might inherit the promises of God. That we might one day be not only an heir here, but an heir up there for eternity. That we might enjoy the blessings of God all through eternity. Oh, I just encourage us today. Pour out your life to the Lord. Believe. Obey. Do what we can. Bring forth fruits meet for repentance in our lives. And believe. It is to those that believe that the promises are. And that's why those folks marched right into the Canaan land, right into the face of everything they didn't have a chance at overcoming. Those big walls. And here they were. They weren't prepared for that kind of conflict. They didn't have big slings and all of that stuff. They had one thing, and that was God. And that's all they needed. And that's all we have too. And that's all we need. Let's be encouraged today to believe the truth, to let the Lord work in our lives, to let Him use our lives, to not look at the future and say, I can't. Put the word out of your dictionary. I can't. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And Paul, we have the history of one that did it. And we've seen others around here that do it. The Lord bless each one of us this morning. Keep me in your prayers too.